Welcome to the Health on Track podcast. Let's talk well-being.
Welcome to the Health on Track podcast, offering you a shot of wellness. I'm Yasmeen, and I'm the Member Engagement and Communications Manager at GIG Gulf. Women empowerment is one of the very hot topics. It's about offering women the tools and resources they need to reach their full potential and to break down the barriers and stereotypes that cage them. Our speaker today has taken on this fight in many ways. Emma Burdett, founder of WILD Network, which stands for Women in Leadership Deliver. She is a gender equality specialist that has been recognized as LinkedIn's top voice for her work in gender equality. Thank you so much, Emma, for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me.
I gotta say, I really love that acronym, WILD.
Yeah.
What inspired you to come up with that?
Ooh, it's quite the story.
Do tell.
So I have been in Dubai for 10 years.
Okay.
I have always worked in the corporate sector. And in 2016, I set up a very small women's network for a corporate company, which actually started as four women and a sheet of paper. I grew that network to around 15 and really saw firsthand the power of women coming together with a genuine sense of solidarity and support. So unfortunately, I lost my job. And that sent me on a trajectory of personal growth and development. And I knew that I'd done something really amazing with this first women's network, and potentially I could do something for myself. So after a mental breakdown and a spiritual epiphany in Thailand, I wrote the concept for WILD from scratch. So I'd been reading quite a famous book called Women Who Run With the Wolves by Clarissa Potts, and she speaks about the wild woman. So I knew that I wanted to call my business WILD, and actually I filled out the acronym afterwards. So I sat with a friend and I was like, right, women in leadership, and then we had deliver, develop, and a whole raft of them. And I ended up selecting Deliver. So I wrote the concept, as I said, from scratch. And we launched WILD in July 2018, primarily just doing events to start.
It's very interesting. I mean, you say it's an unfortunate thing that you've lost your job, but maybe not very unfortunate. Maybe it's a very good thing, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really believe in the fact that everything happens for a reason. And I'm actually grateful for the experience because it allowed me to really deal with a lot of wreckage from my past. It cracked me open to a deeper understanding and ultimately create the business that I lead today.
Great. So since you're recognized as LinkedIn's top voice for gender equality, what is the most common types of gender inequality that you see working with women in the corporate world?
Ooh, that's a big question. So I really had a passion for wanting to ensure younger females don't endure what I went through in my corporate career. And I actually say that as a privileged white female, okay? So I've been bullied, harassed, fired, spoken over in meetings, left out of the boys' club, marched out of a client's office in 2006 for being a woman. So I myself had encountered several acts of bias, discrimination. So there are now lots of things in place to prevent bias and discrimination against women. But unfortunately, when we look at the stats, a lot of them are going backwards when it comes to equality. So yeah, back to the question, there are many, I would say, little intricate things that combined in a sort of systemic web lead to substantial inequality for women in the workplace.
Okay, so would you say that it's mostly about, equal pay, or is it more about, it's just about how you get treated in a meeting, or if it's you versus your colleague and you're both reporting to the same line manager, you see a lot of different treatments between what males get and what females get?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just unpack some of what they are. So unequal pay is still at large globally. We led a wild event yesterday and we very much spoke about International Women's Day and the fact that I think we're a bit done with, you know, pink balloons and cake. What women would really like is equal pay, equal access to opportunities and resources as our male counterparts. So, you know, yes, pay is a huge thing when it comes to gender equality, but also, you know, as I say, not the same access to resources, informal networks where men do business together that women aren't really welcomed in, i.e. the golf course, being spoken over or discredited for ideas in meetings, which then means women tend to have a feeling of what's the point and take a step back, which is not only harmful to the business because they're not leveraging the diversity, but also for the woman's career and advancement. So it's a huge topic, and there are, as I say, many different factors which contribute to gender equality, and they all, you know, add up to have substantial inequality.
Yeah, I mean, I've been put in so many situations myself. They're like, oh yeah, no, because you're a girl, you don't need to work late. It's fine, you can leave. I was in events at the time. I was like, it's fine, I don't mind being here, and it's my event. I would like to see it through, but no, it's okay. You can go home now. We'll take it. We'll manage it. I'm like, okay. You can't really, how many times can you say no to your boss, right?
And I think, you know, something that we're really passionate about as well is working mums, you know, because 95% of women have a career break after children and only 30% of them can get back into work, and they face 30 to 40% pay reduction. So when we look at that, you know, when women have children, it doesn't make them any less competent, ambitious, or able to do the role. And companies are missing out on a huge pool of talent because they're just discounting, for example, return to work mums.
Okay, would you say that there's a certain perception of what an empowered woman looks like?
I think that role models are particularly important. And one of the issues with gender inequality is a lack of female role models, particularly in male-dominated sectors like law, engineering, finance. So the younger females don't have someone to look up to. So that can be, you know, a key reason for gender equality. I mean, what is empowerment? I think everyone has their own definition of what they feel that is. Is it Beyonce that women look up to? She would be my definition of an empowered woman. She's got it all going on. You know, people like Oprah Winfrey, who, you know, a black woman that's gone on to do incredible things and is, you know, multi-billionaire, in fact. So a definition of empowerment for me is about confidence and also about authenticity. And I know very much for me personally, with my own journey with Wild, you know, women can be such people pleasers and just saying yes to different things and trying to put on a particular persona to be something that they're not. And I know that when I really let go of the fear of judgment and what people would say and think, not only did my own confidence grow, but actually the success of Wild 10X'd. And that was when I was just unapologetically me. So my version of, you know, an empowered woman is someone who is confident, someone who is self-assured, someone who has invested in their own growth and development, and someone who takes accountability and ownership for their own career.
That's amazing. I do think that this, like, it's the recipe for success in a way that,
yeah,
you know, you just have to be confident and to know what you want to do and to take responsibility for your actions.
Absolutely.
And then you're on the right track.
Yeah.
So what is your advice for any women that is facing gender inequality in the workplace?
So having gone through many toxic corporate workplace environments and actually coaching women who are in those environments, get out. You know, it is not worth being in an environment which subsequently is going to damage your mental health. And I've been at the really worst end of that scenario. We deserve to be respected. We deserve to be able to bring our whole selves to the workplace and be rewarded for the work that we do and the person that we are. So definitely, definitely get out. I actually believe in speaking up, you know, speaking up and kind of sticking up for yourself, no matter what the scenario is, but get out.
Easier said than done, though. I mean, there are a lot of single mothers out there, or single income households. And I mean, yes, of course, if you can't speak up, then definitely do that. And if you can get out, then of course, don't even give it a second thought. Yeah. Just get out. But if someone doesn't have that option or that opportunity right now, and they just need to sort of handle the situation in a way, how can they do that?
Okay, so firstly, I believe we all have choice. I don't believe that anyone is stuck in their current situation. We might feel like that, but I feel that we do have choice and freedom. People might not. It might not be so readily available to them. Speaking up, building your own sense of resilience, and trying not to take everything so personally as well. So whilst there are, you know, very dominant alpha people in the workplace who can be quite overpowering, you know, I feel that sometimes we need to grow a thicker skin and not take offence to the slightest little things, and also understand that hurt people hurt people. So, you know, trying to look at people sometimes through a lens of love or compassion. What I've realised, you know, in my own career is that people are fighting battles you know nothing about. So your boss might come in and be a bit short or snappy with you on that day. You don't know what's going on in their personal lives. They might be dealing with a parent who's got dementia, like my own father. They might be dealing with a divorce or a plethora of different things. So not to take it on. Don't take it personally. Sometimes it's absolutely nothing to do with you. It can be what that person is going through at that particular time.
That's great advice. I mean, I need to keep that in mind myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered women who are already in the workplace. What about young women or young girls, teenagers who are still in high school or in universities? Do you have any advice for them, you know, while before they are actually in the workplace?
I think having a role model and mentor is absolutely key. You know, having someone that can guide you and advise you, that necessarily isn't like a family member, but someone who can be impartial. You know, I've had some amazing mentors that have sort of formed naturally, and also I've invested in coaches and mentors. I still continue to invest in my personal growth and development. And also I think for, you know, younger generation, or particularly in the Middle Eastern cultures, from what I deduce, there is a great appetite for striving for more and more academia, you know, PhDs, MBAs, masters.
Yes.
And that's great, but they do not teach you leadership.
Yeah.
They don't teach you communication, and they most certainly don't teach you confidence. So, you know, what I see in very much the work we do at Wild is bridging the gap between academia and what we call power skills or soft skills, so that we can really step into becoming a leader. And I really see a huge gap. And, you know, we're doing a lot of work in Saudi at the moment, and we had some calls with about four or five younger Saudi females. And it was like talking to the same person, because the same things were being repeated to me. I'm scared of what people think. I don't feel confident. I'm afraid of failure and putting myself out there. And, you know, what we have to understand is that being visible is a currency in a way. You know, I've managed to build up a huge profile on LinkedIn. I haven't had any support in that, but as I say, when I let go of those fears, in particular, what do people say? What are people going to think? That's when you can really shine. So, you know, letting go of fears, generally fear of failure fear of judgment and fear of not enough, which I believe is a worldwide endemic between, you know, all different women in all different locations. And I can speak to that myself. Even, you know, I think when people look at LinkedIn or the growth or the success that Wild has, there's some days that I really, you know, struggle with those senses of low self-worth or not feeling good enough or comparing myself to other people who are maybe having a different business or have a slightly different life circumstance to me. So I am a coach, so I do know the tools to bring myself back on track, but really working on ourselves and our mindset. You know, mindset is just such a huge, important, powerful thing, which doesn't get taught in university.
Okay, mental health, in your experience, how big of a role does it play in women empowerment? And in your experience, how have you coached women for their mental health?
So I think in the corporate world, especially when I was you know, employed, health, menopause, periods, anything like that was really taboo. And there really was this...
Still is, very much so.
People are speaking about it in the workplace, and lots of companies are having initiatives to bring these topics to the forefront a lot more than 10, 20 years ago. So I believe that wellness is the bedrock to success. And having had two very serious chronic illnesses and diseases, one I'm still dealing with, which is Crohn's disease, and then in COVID I got pancreatitis, you know, I really, everyone says health is wealth, but I think unless you really have had something which is very serious, you do take it for granted. Mental health is, of course, you know, so profound and prevalent. When I had a mental breakdown, it really was a really scary place. And it took me 6 months to get myself back together with a lot of support. So when we wrote the concept for our membership, Wild Women Collective, I actually combined leadership and self-leadership, which is how we manage ourselves. The power skills, of course, how to, you know, speak with impact, how to negotiate, but also wellness. So we really wanted to make sure that that was a key recognized element, pillar of what we do at Wild. So, you know, health is the most important thing we've got.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. That's why we're doing, it's part of the reason we're doing this podcast is to create more awareness about health and well-being topics. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've mentioned a lot throughout the conversation, some of the initiatives and some of the trainings that you do at Wild. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
So we do quite a lot, actually, and I don't think people really see the spectrum of what we offer. So we do kind of what we call our B2C offerings, so coaching, mentoring, a membership program. We're just in the middle of a launch at the moment where women can sign up themselves and be part of our community and get access to, you know, resources and our events. But we also work with companies to really look at their diversity and inclusion landscape. We use an AI tool where we look at the gap analysis of what exactly is going on. And then we build customized solutions from Wild to support them. And then we can run the diagnostic tool again. So we can look at the benchmarking of where they were at the start of the year to the end of the year. So we do consultancy. We do leadership training for emerging leaders and existing female leaders. And something that I do, which I'm really passionate about, is working with a company to build their own customized women's network. So having built one from 4 to several thousand over 7 or 8 years, I kind of know the shortcuts and the systems and processes, which we call, you know, mastery, really, on how to do an event, how to lead a masterclass, how to set up the back end in your practical structures, what is current and relevant when it comes to topics, what do women want to learn about, and supporting the business create their own brand, almost, that is an extension of the business, but aligned with the company in terms of the values. So that's something that I do myself. That's something that I'm really, really, really passionate about, because look, essentially when we look at, you know, companies, it's about attracting and retaining talent. So how do we ensure that we attract the top talent, these Gen Zs and the one below, I don't even know the name of them, but right, okay, how do we ensure that we attract them to the company? And we know that these generations, 85% of them are wanting to see a company's diversity and inclusion policy before they even consider working with you. And it's kind of just a completely different era. You know, when I was working, it was put up and shut up and get on with it. And if you don't like it, there's the door.
Yeah.
You know, the Gen Z population very much interview you and decide if they want to work for you. And I've got a Gen Z that works for me, and it is the most interesting dynamic. And, you know, she's just so bold and has these boundaries. And I really, really respect that. But it's a very, very different way to how I, you know, was raised in the workplace. So, yeah, building a customised women's network to attract that talent, because it's all about building community and also retaining them, because if they feel that they've got a safe space to be seen, heard and understood with natural access to mentors or role models, then it's a no-brainer. It's a win-win all round. So I really am a big believer in building customized women's networks. And we do get pushback saying, oh, what about men? You know, that's not then gender equality. Look, you know, there's no reason why men can't be invited to the women's network once a quarter so that they can understand what is the female leadership conversation. But if your male leader is in those sessions and every one, you're not going to speak up. You're going to feel quite fearful that you can't be yourself and you shouldn't say this and you shouldn't say that, which kind of defeats the whole object, right? So, yeah, women's networks, we really like to build within an organisation. And as I said, that's something that I do over 3 months myself.
That's very great. I would like to join one of those events or workshops at some time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll get in touch about that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Okay. Working with a lot of women, and you know, you mentioned that there's this gap between academia and the actual skill set required to function or survive in the corporate world. Tell us about a success story, something that, you know, someone that, you know, was very far off or had that very big gap and then was able to bridge it, other than yourself, of course.
Yeah, so... oh, we've got lots of examples, but one that always comes to mind is a young woman called Joanna, who is a Filipina. And she came up to me at the end of one of our big events and said, you know, I really need your support. I haven't got any confidence. I'm really shy. I don't want to show up. I'm anxious. And I could see her, or, you know, her aura and her disposition. You know, she was very, very nervous. So I said, yeah, you really do need a bit of support. So Joanna came to work with me on a one-to-one basis, and the transformation is actually remarkable. So when she first walked in to our coaching session, it was with the same, you know, disposition. And we sat down and we looked at her goals and values and what she wanted to achieve by the end of the coaching. And I said to her, what do you care about most? And she said, I really care about my sisterhood and my fellow Filipinas, because, you know, they're always being judged or wrongly put into a box that they are the maid or the nanny, but actually they're businesswomen. So I said, how do you feel about leading a community specifically for Filipino women in business or in corporate? And she just said, oh my gosh, you know, I'll never be able to do that. And I said, don't compare my chapter 30 with Wild with your chapter 1. And she said, look, it's something that I really want to work towards. So by about session four, Joanna walked in to meet me, a completely different person. She is unrecognisable from when we started working together. And in 2022, we supported her launch TFC, the Thriving Filipina Circle, which I actually went to the launch, was 15 women around a table. She now has a community of over 1,000 Filipina women, and she's up collecting awards, and she's doing speeches, and she's leading that community. So we do have lots of success stories where we've seen a massive transformation when a woman has really decided, I'm done with settling, I don't want mediocre, I don't want to feel this way anymore, and I'm going to take responsibility and ownership for me and my own career. Joanna is an absolute, complete role model. She is, you know, my biggest protege. And I think it's just an amazing success story of when someone takes the onus to go and invest in themselves and their own growth and development, what the result can be.
It's very inspiring. We're very proud of you, Joanna. We hope you're listening.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she sounds amazing. Okay, my last question. What is one piece of advice that you have for all our listeners today?
So I always say that I really believe that anything is possible when we work on ourselves, when we remove fear, all of the limitations that we place upon ourselves and doubts. Because, you know, I always tell the Wild story to inspire people. You know, I've built Wild after a mental breakdown. I launched it initially with $300. It's now the fastest growing women's network in the Middle East. And I managed to cultivate a deep passion, desire to want to do something amazing for the community and to get out of my own way. So, you know, it's knowing that the only limitations that we put on ourselves are the ones that we give ourselves. So, yeah, anything is possible.
Amazing. Thank you so much,
Emma,
for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
I mean, this was very inspiring.
Thank you, Yasmin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In our next episode, we're talking about healthy eating. Yes, we know it has been talked about a lot, but we're approaching it differently. So stay tuned and see for yourself. We're available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Anghami. Stay well and keep thriving.